Good morning. I'm Janet Russell, the pastor of Christian Formation and Community Life. We have been looking at ways that we can make space for God. And today we're going to look at courage. The courage it took Mary to say yes to God and what that might look like for us. Will you pray with me? Lord, it is hard to even fathom what this experience was like for Mary to have an angel tell her that she would be pregnant with your son. We pray that we might have the same courage to say yes to you as Mary did. Amen. These stories can be so familiar that we hardly hear them anymore. We can be so inundated by the sentimentality of the season that we can be left in kind of a stupor of abundance. We have Christmas cards and carols and movies and books and music and devotionals, all trying to create this deep and meaningful experience, trying to help us capture the awe of what God has done for us. How do we experience the wonder of a 2,000-year-old story when wonder is on sale at Target for 50% off? Yet in some ways, this story is so ordinary. We can all picture the soft glow of the cute, stable animals looking adoringly at the precious sleeping baby in the hay. It started ordinary. Mary is a young woman, probably in her young teens, betrothed. She wasn't married yet, but agreement had been made between families, the bride price paid, the wedding was being planned. Mary lived in a small, poor, out-of-the-way agrarian community, far away from Jerusalem, the seat of Jewish power. Her life would be difficult, but common. Married young, having babies, going to synagogue, working hard. A simple, ordinary life. Until Gabriel shows up. When angels show up, the usual response is terror. And life usually gets very extraordinary. Gabriel tells Mary that she's going to have a child, but not an ordinary child. This child's father will be God, and his name will be the Lord Saves, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, above all other kings and gods and powers. And God will give this child the throne of his father David. His kingdom will never end. These words resonate with the promises from the Old Testament. The prophetic promise that Hannah sang before Israel even had a king, that he would give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Anointed is Messiah in Hebrew and Christ in Greek. God will exalt his anointed king, the Messiah. And the promise that God gave David through Nathan, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. And the promise given through the prophet Isaiah, those familiar Advent words, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we usually stop there, but it continues. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And Daniel had been given a vision of this coming king, that he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and that will never pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Jesus is this long-awaited anointed king, the Messiah, who will reign with justice and righteousness, who will be worshipped as God Most High, and his kingdom will never end. Jesus is God becoming human. God who created the universe, A friend shared at our small group about galaxies so far away that their light will never reach us. That means that they are more than 16 billion light years away, and a light year is about 6 trillion miles. God spoke into being galaxies that are more than 96 with 108 zeros behind it, miles away. And then that same God became an embryo in Mary's womb, weighing less than half an ounce in his first months. Now, Mary seemed to miss the whole Most High Messiah Forever King bit. And she got stuck on, "You will be with child," and asked, "How? I'm a virgin." "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Okay, that really explains it. In the very beginning, in Genesis, the Spirit of God overshadowed the watery chaos, and creation was spoken into being. And in the desert, the Spirit of God overshadowed the tabernacle, filling it with God's glorious presence. Now here, the Spirit of God will overshadow Mary, fashioning a new creation, a new Adam without sin, who will reverse the brokenness of the first creation. The Spirit of God will overshadow her, and a human being will be God's glorious presence in the world. This is the ultimate moving into the neighborhood. God is moving into Mary's womb, and he's taking up residence for 9 months, transforming her life in ways that every mother understands, but also transforming the world. The angel's assurance is that even her relative, barren Elizabeth, who is well past childbearing years, is going to have a baby. Nothing is impossible with God. And then Mary says the most improbable words, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She doesn't worry about what her family's going to think, or the neighbors are going to think, or Joseph is going to think. Did you hear? Mary's pregnant and there hasn't been a wedding. And she says that she hasn't been with a man. It's by the Holy Spirit. That's a new one. You can imagine the talk, the derision, the judgment. Joseph was only kept from divorcing her when another angel showed up. The consequences could have gone well beyond ridicule and humiliation for her supposed indiscretion. Though it didn't seem to happen often, Deuteronomy prescribed stoning for those caught in adultery, which is what this was considered. And Mary didn't worry. She didn't worry about how they would think or how they would respond. And she doesn't tell God why she really is not a very good choice for this. She could have said, "I'm just a kid. I'm poor. We live in the sticks. Nazareth, for goodness' sake. You know what they say about Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? You should pick my relatives, Zechariah and Elizabeth. He's a priest. They live near Jerusalem. They're wealthy and have good connections. You should pick them for this child. They're married." Mary doesn't dwell on her inadequacy. And she doesn't say, "This is terrifying. I don't think I can handle being a mom, let alone the mom of the Most High Savior, forever King of the world." When it was time to leave the hospital with our firstborn, we thought the hospital staff was crazy to think that we could be responsible for an infant. How were we going to keep him alive and safe? And we had a normal, healthy baby. Granted, he was amazing and perfect in our eyes, but he was not the Messiah. But Mary doesn't worry about what people think or dwell on her inadequacies or her fears. She responds with those improbable words, "May it be to me as you have said." She simply said yes to God. Can you imagine the courage it took for Mary to say yes? Why did she do it? Granted, it was an angel talking to her. But I think we find the answer in the song that Mary sang, what we traditionally call the Magnificat, because that's the first word of the song in Latin. Let me read you her song from Luke 1, 46 to 55. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So why did she have the courage to say yes to God? Mary's song expresses her deep humility before God. She is overwhelmed that she should be chosen, favored by God. In Greek, that word highly favored has the root word of grace. Mary recognized what was happening to her was entirely God's grace, his unmerited kindness. She has earned nothing. God owes her nothing. And she has been given the immense gift of being part of God's great salvation story, part of his eternal purposes. Instead of feeling humiliation or inadequacy or fear, she's ecstatic with joy. This song is foot stomping, tunic swinging jubilation. Mary can't believe that God would bless her like this, use her like this, love her like this, and she is singing it loud. And Mary's song shows that her life was steeped in the scriptures. Nearly every phrase echoes the Old Testament. What flows from Mary is the fruit of a life meditating on the Word and living and breathing the hopes of her people. And Mary's song expresses that she knows God. You can know the scriptures and not know God, but Mary knows God. Her God is a God who sets things right, wins over evil, and rescues his people. God turns worldly powers upside down, taking down the proud, the rulers, the rich, and lifting up those who fear him, the humble, the hungry. Her God is mighty and merciful and making all things new. Mary said yes to God because she was humble, recognizing the immense honor of God's grace in her life. And her life was soaked in the scriptures. It was the life breath of her decisions. And the God she knew was faithful to fulfill his promises. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary would need courage later in her life too. A sword would pierce her soul. She would see the fury of the crowd in Nazareth as her neighbors tried to throw Jesus off of a cliff. She would watch her beloved son die on a Roman cross because he proclaimed the truth that he was God and King. When I think of courage, I think of superheroes, like firemen running into burning buildings, or doctors and nurses treating COVID-19 patients every day. But Mary was an ordinary young woman who simply said yes to God. Through her courage, she made space, literally in her womb and figuratively in her life, for God to do something extraordinary. What does courage look like to you? What does it mean for you to say yes to God? A friend gave me a card when I was going through a rough patch. It said, "Courage does not always roar. Sometimes it is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, 'I will try again tomorrow.'" Courage may mean facing another difficult day. It may mean opening your life to God for the first time to do what He will. Or it may mean responding to those nudges of the Spirit to forgive, to say the hard word, to love when it's tough, or to share your faith. Or it may mean moving into those uncomfortable spaces to confront injustice, to change deeply ingrained habits, to change priorities, or to change your whole life course. Courage may mean being willing to be overlooked, or being willing to be exposed, to expose yourself for who you really are. We are basically common, ordinary people that God desires to use in His great salvation story for His eternal purposes. What a gift! Will we open our hearts and lives to the Spirit of God, who desires to take up residence and do a work of recreation? Will we allow Him to make His home in us, renewing us and the world through us? Do we have the courage to say yes to God? Oh Lord, may we be people who echo Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Amen.